So this morning, stepping out of our comfort zone. And I think about how all spiritual stories are exactly about stepping out of the comfort zone. Whether you're looking at Christianity or Buddha or the Tao or any story. It's always about stepping out of the comfort zone. I think of recently, since I've talked about Paul, who was Saul, and his time in prison before he was executed, spent a time still staying in grace and love. When offered the opportunity to be freed, he wouldn't allow it, because it would mean the slaying of certain Romans in order to free him. Not to mention the lesson that would be taught by so many people that would be executed for doing such a thing. I think of Luke, who stayed by his side, who just lived in harm's way by doing so, not only by the Romans, but of his own fellow Christians, for he was a Gentile and was often ridiculed since he came from Greece. But yet he stayed with Paul during that whole time. I think of the disciples and the lessons they learned. I mean, if you ever want to see some goofy guys like figuring out stuff, really take a look at the disciples. And Jesus put up with an awful lot there. You know, it's like, even on his final night, it's like, we're meditating and you can't stay awake with me. You fall asleep. And it's like, you know. But then look at the work they did. See, that's the point. Look at the work that they did. And Luke too, to go on and his writings, how much of it fills the New Testament. And he was not even a disciple. He was just someone really willing to learn and to practice. Now the thing that's interesting about stepping out of our comfort zone can often be filled with turmoil, can be filled with a lot of suffering, but it's going into the unknown. And so I stay in a familiar place. I don't allow myself to grow. Now, on the one hand, one could say, oh, man. But on the other hand, I'm grateful for that because, oh, you mean that's me doing it. It's not out there. It's not God. Absolutely not God. It's really not out there. So it kind of like minimizes where the problem dwells. I don't have to stand in line. I don't have to fill out forms. I don't have to wait my turn. I don't have to apply and reapply over and over and over again. The work begins here. The change happens here. I can grow. I can evolve. More and more I'm conscious of the fact that all decisions I make regarding everything in life, how I feel after the situation and the decision made, is my choice. I cannot say that something that bothered me is to blame because I chose to be bothered by it. I chose that. Just as when I choose not to be bothered by it, I choose not to be bothered by it. And it makes me realize the great authority that God has given us to govern ourselves. And at the same time, if we wish to learn what God has to offer us to learn, or not. It's what we call being of Christ's mind. Paul was of Christ's mind. Of course, Jesus was of absolute Christ's mind. But it wasn't, you know, sometimes people refer to Jesus as Christ, but it was, if you look in the Bible, it's Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, or Jesus the Christ, which John often refers to as Jesus the Christ. So there's still that something that Jesus tried teaching us, that the Christ is in us all. The Christ is God in expression as you and as me. That's what the Christ is. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, as I often say. Who's the Father? God. Who's the Son? God. Who's the Holy Ghost? God. What's life? God. Everything is of God, wisdom made manifest. Right down to the empty space. That's God. So to understand these things and start practicing what we call these principles is a blessing because they're there for us to accept them and to learn from them if we choose to. So stepping out of my comfort zone, when I talk of that, I'm talking more about that part where I choose to stifle that comfort zone, where I choose not to let myself become more of me, of who I already am. What's already been given to every cell of my body, to every thought that could ever occur in my mind, it's there because it's God wisdom made manifest. You see, that's what we mean in divine science when we say there's no separation. There is no separation. But it's a hard thing to conceive because most of us are brought up on a planet where what's all we're taught is separation. Everything's put in categories. We have this team and that team and this belief and that belief. And I mean, just look at all the fractions of different Christianities. But that's okay. That's just the outer world. That's man doing what mankind does. It's not really God in infinite command. It's limited thinking. It's trying to understand or not trying to understand. You know, on the front of this, it's the most powerful. We've left it on here. There, in the beginning, in a while, there was some talk. I remember Mary and Emma talked about changing this little slogan here in the front from Urban Seal. And said, oh, we should put different ones there. And Mary Emma and I talked about it and said, oh, no, we shouldn't. This is so powerful that it should be on here. I mean, when has anyone ever learned anything fully? I have, well, at least speaking for myself, I have not learned anything fully. I don't even know how much I've even learned something. In fact, I don't even know what perfect means. I can't begin to comprehend. What is perfect? I don't know what perfect is. I know that I grow. But on the front here we have, the power is not in the conditions, but in the mind you allow them to produce in your consciousness. In other words, I'm going to choose how to respond. I'm going to choose how to react. And that's powerful because, you know, and I look at some folks who are so deeply of a divine nature, and you see nothing bothers them. It's not that they're ignoring life. It's not that they're blowing it off. It's not that they're shut down and don't feel anything. No, they just say, all is well. I see what's going on. But isn't that what Jesus did? Isn't that how Jesus understood healing? That did not come from him, but came from the heavenly mother, father. Because he didn't see the leper. He didn't see the person who couldn't walk. He didn't see the blind man. He knew that they were going through it, but all he saw was their wellness. And so, as long as they could raise up in the consciousness that he was allowing them to experience, they would be healed. But they brought that unto themselves. Jesus did not heal them at all. He helped them to understand that connection to God so that they could see the truth, and in the truth, they could be healed. Now, that can also go in increments. I recently experienced, I've talked about having really bad knee problems. I thought for sure it was going to be surgery. But it's pretty much gone. Not entirely, but like 90-95% gone, and I can live with that. I'm fine. I can walk. I got my old pace back, man. It's like, it doesn't bother me. I don't mind a little ache. You know, I've been living with little aches and pains all my life. They don't annoy me. But it's gone. It's been lifted. But it took about a year. Charles Fillmore, the founder of Unity Church, had one leg that was shorter than the other. But over a five-year, and it brought him extreme pain because it causes a lot of hip problems and things. But over a five-year period of time, that one leg grew to the same length as the other. And this was not as a child, no, he's in his teens. No, this wasn't a man of middle age who did this. His wife, who was terminally ill, so that's what the doctor said, went on to live for several decades, 4 or 5 more decades. Nona Brooks, the founder of this church, was considered terminally ill. She was slowly suffocating to death. She went on for many decades and worked with helping a lot of people find that healing power within. And she'd spend hours as she was learning how to do it. She would spend hours, and then there was life. See? See? This is why we recommend coming to Divine Science. You see, you talk about Nona Brooks, the light goes on. Reminds me of that story about electricity, how we take it for granted, the current's there, you flip on the switch. Well, there it is. But anyway, that worked out nicely. I have to remember to thank the firemen. I asked them, turn it on when I talk about Nona. And they said, okay, Craig, anything for you. But anyway, these things are all very real. It's hard to believe, you know. I've been doing this for a long time, and I still sometimes sit there and go, really? I was like, yeah, really? Because there's that block. There was in one of Nona's stories, a man came to her through her brother who just thought she was just goofy as all get up. Thought that she was just crackers doing what she was doing. But he, in the desperation of his friend not getting any help, and had this big thing growing out of his neck, and she sat with him she sat there for a few hours, I think. And then all of a sudden she's looking and it wasn't there. It was gone. She didn't talk. She didn't tell him. They just sat in this consciousness. They allowed themselves to go into this great silence and move beyond the realization of any negativity. And that's a part of how I understand it. You reach a point where you can't even comprehend negativity. A foul word just sounds like, it's like, what? But it's a foul word. But I can't comprehend it. See, God doesn't comprehend the evil, because God's not evil. God's only good. And so when you reach this state of mind, it's not about, oh, knees be better. Oh, please be better. I know, I believe in God. I love God. Knees be better. I'm not going to get anywhere with that. But when I go into the silence and I get to a point in consciousness, and this is where meditation is so important, where I just reach that state where I can't comprehend anything negative, something wonderful begins to happen. I come out of it feeling really refreshed too. And then I wonder, how come I don't stay there? How come I don't stay there? I don't want to leave it. And I leave it. Before I know it, I'm grumpy and copping an attitude. And I got to do it all over again. You see, that's, for me, it's the purpose of being here. So I can evolve and become more in that consciousness. I know now how to go into deep meditations quickly. I can do them instantaneously. But that took a long time. But to get to that stage, it takes work. So I really appreciate that in Nona's story, she talks about, you know, she had a sweat for a while there as she learned how to get into that state. Because she said it wasn't that they were difficult patients. It just took her a while to reach that consciousness. So she would spend great lengths of time to get to it. Because she was so devoted to it. You know? And it happens. I have my own testimonies. I've seen other people. I've seen it happen. I've seen some where it's happened quickly. Like quickening. It's like, wow, man. So now I'm like, they come to me and I'm going, how'd you do that? What, teach me, please. You know, so it's coming out of the comfort zone. But where to? If I feel that I have nowhere to go except into this, I think what happens is people just become instantaneously overwhelmed. And so it's like, oh, forget about it. But that's why we talk about meditation and the prayer, how important it is, so that we can move beyond being overwhelmed. Because, again, the power is not in the conditions, but in the mood you allow them to produce in your consciousness. I have to move beyond that. I have to move beyond that. And we can move beyond that if we're willing to. But it takes time, and we have to be patient and forgiving. Because you just don't take a habit that's been going on for decades, perhaps, and say, okay, go away. I see that now, so go. For some, maybe it happens. For most, it's a practice. And what's important is to realize the increments of it occurring. It's a little less. It's a little less. It's a little less. And paying attention. How did I get there in the first place? When I talk about going instantly into a deep meditation, it's because I learned how I got there. I know how I got there. So I can just go there. And even then, I have to get past sometimes a mind that I don't want to. You don't want to? No. What do you want to do? I want to cop an attitude for a while. You know? It's like, oh, well, okay, knock yourself out. And when you're ready, yeah. You know, that's why I love it. You know, I say it, and I heard it was from Dr. Salazar, where he talked about meditation. He said, it works in this stage. Contemplate, meditate, and then allow for whatever to happen. And that's it. He didn't go into it and then, you know, You know, you move into above the clouds. And, oh, no, 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 no. Because then that's still using the mind. I'm still using the outer self. Because that's what we say, go beyond words and thoughts. Because the words and thoughts, we don't see them, but it's part of my outer self. It belongs to the flesh, the thoughts. So it's moving beyond words and thoughts. I look at our cats sometimes, and I can tell they're meditating. It's just like, I'm like, what are they doing? And they're just like this. Like 2 minutes later, what are they looking at? Nothing. They're meditating. I notice a lot of animals do that. You know, they're not sleeping. They're just naturals. They don't do a lot of like putting words together. They might have learned a few things. Like, come here, sit down, roll over. Want to go out? You know, they got a little bit of our language, but for the most part, it's a couple sounds they make, and they get the message across to each other. You know. But we have to move about. See, we're highly intelligent creatures, and it's a beautiful thing. We're very creative. Our thoughts, we tend to forget about our thoughts, our language. It's very creative that we sit here and can talk to each other. That is really a very creative thing. But it also gets in the way. It gets in the way because we can fill ourselves up with all a bunch of words and stuff to do with this and that and those and thems and how come this and why that and why not this or why not that and blah 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 and then rethink it over and over and over. And it's all just in the way. It's all in the way. And I have to be honest, speaking for myself, it doesn't help me. It doesn't help me. It might soothe me for a little bit while I'm sitting there going, it's like, but what happens after that? Then what do I do? See, I'm in my comfort zone. There's a side. I'm in my comfort zone when I'm sitting there. There's a comfort. It's soothing. But I'm poisoning myself. I'm soothing myself with a poisoning. And I'm in my comfort zone. But I want to come out of my comfort zone. I want to go into the oneship. I want to go into the infinite source. I want to move beyond that comfort, you know, and it takes a lot of work. Now, recently, I tell people, it's like, you know, I take my will back every single day of my life, countless times. I'm sure, I don't know how many times, but I do it every day. But I also return every day. I've had some days where long periods of time I've not taken it back, but every day. Because the more I evolve, the more I see what I'm doing, I can think, wow, I've really gotten somewhere. I'm not really taking my will back. I'm in this good space. And all of a sudden, I'll go after a while, once I get a little comfortable with having moved on a little bit, I got out of my comfort zone, I've evolved a little bit more in my understanding of things, and I think, wow, this is nice. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wow, I still take my will back quite a bit. You know, I didn't think I was, but I still am. It's amazing. The little things that are so easy to not see. You see, and there's nothing little about them, really. Because they're the ones I don't see. So they're still there in me. That's not little. I call that big. Now, it maybe isn't upsetting my life on a level that's causing extreme discomfort, but on the other hand, I like this. I want the whole package. I want it. I want to grow in the image and likeness of my Creator. That to me is my vacation. You know, if someone said, Craig, you want to go on a big cruise ship, man, for like 6 weeks, or you want to spend like a couple weeks in meditation somewhere, I'll take the meditation, thank you. Really, I'm serious. Because I'll be more refreshed and feel better and be in a much better space and seeing things I ain't never seen. Taking a path like that. You know, so it's part of that beauty, that goodness of the kingdom that's already being given to us. To realize that it's endless. And that's good because I don't know what I'd do if it only was a certain amount. I'd be in a heap load of trouble. I really would be. You know, I think sometimes the more you get into this, the bigger of a slam one can take if they come out of it. You know, because it's like, I don't want to go back to certain things that maybe weren't so difficult. So to go back to them could suddenly be very difficult, if that makes any sense. I might have to break that down better, but it's like certain things that I could tolerate, I've learned to not allow in my life. So to go back into it, it would just be a wicked experience. You know? And I don't have the means to survive in it anymore. You know, because here we walk away from surviving and we live instead. There's no surviving in this. This is about living. You know? And I like to think that today I'm not much of a survivor. I'm not good at surviving anymore. But I've gotten decent at living. I've gotten decent at stepping out of my comfort zone and exploring new things and finding new things. And it's not all just spiritual. It's things that I thought, oh, I can't do that. And then all of a sudden, yes, you can. You know, you can do that. Oh, but I was so bit, I was overwhelmed, or it seemed so impossible. And suddenly, well, all of a sudden I'm doing it. In increments, start piecing it together. Voila. You know? And I love those kind of experiences in life because that just inspires me to keep pursuing other things. You know? And I can't stress enough how grateful I am for this, for these teachings. What it has given me, as I said, it's given me life. It's given me life. And though there's a fair amount of me that still stays in comfort zones, there's a lot of me that does not. And I'm not done yet. I think now, especially at my age, it's like in my 60s, it's a wonderful time to be a teenager. I can finally be the teenager I never was. Or I heard the other night, 60s is the new 40 and 9 p.m. is the new 12 a.m. You know, it's like, that's the only thing. It's like, yeah. So anyway, so it's food for thought, stepping out of the comfort zone. That doesn't always mean everything's just going nicely. Things cannot be so good, and that is my comfort zone. I've gotten so used to it, I know how to survive in it. And I can get through it. I can even get things done in it. But how long do I want to just stay there? We don't have to. If you want to, by all means. But we don't have to. We're created in a way that we don't have to. But it's having that faith. And that faith is the realization of the inner activity of God already at work within you. So the main person's over, the main God's already there. You know, there's a little prayer we have. It comes from a couple things, a different part, a couple parts of Scripture put together, as I found out. But it actually is, "Do not fear, it is only I, and I am always with you, and I will never forsake you." And I love that. Do not fear, it's only I. The infinite source, do not fear. I also learned something else recently. God helps those who helps themselves is not in the Bible. It's called ghost scriptures. There's certain things I think they attribute it to Acts and also Ezekiel. Not there. It doesn't exist. And it pointed out why it's not even a good saying. Because God helps those that helps themselves allows us to get caught up more in taking my will back. Well, I'm helping myself. Where are you? You know? No. God is my salvation. God is my grace. You know? I don't help myself so that God will help me. I turn to God so that I may be one with God. So I found it very interesting. I didn't know that. You know, I've been studying the Bible like deeply for 25 some odd years, and doesn't exist. Not there. Anyway, if you'll join me in a closing prayer as we just give thanks and we realize that we can move beyond that comfort zone. We are built and designed in God's glory and God's magnificence and God's love. And God's grace is always with us. And we need not fear God. And knowing that God is always with us and always there, ready to fulfill us, supply us in this great abundance of infinite love, wellness, strength, courage, and grace. Let us know this truth, for this truth will set us free. And so it is. Amen.